Hey, it's The Real Thing, and this is Lisa.
I am Lisa Lorenz, and I'm with, what's your name? Mike Williams, in my home in Chapman, in the TV room downstairs.
Lisa's an Australian Paralympic champion. Her category at the Paralympics was intellectually disabled.
Autism is just part of the person I am, but it's not all of the person I am.
She won numerous gold medals. Her nickname was the cheetah, like the animal. This is the story of how Lisa Lorenz became the cheetah.
Yes, I was most afraid of saying dumb things in doing this interview.
Oh, well, normally I'm the one that says dumb things and then I just edit them out.
Well, I always knew I was different to everyone else at school. But I didn't think being different as being such a big deal till later in my life. And it's hard to be different, and it's even harder to be a bad different.
Lisa loved her childhood.
Most autistic children live in their own worlds. Everything's basically clovers and rainbows.
Yeah.
And fairies.
I didn't have a lot of fairies in my childhood. I had Noddy. I don't think Noddy counts. Was Biggie as a fairy? Anyway, I did have athletics carnivals and I hated them, but for Lisa, it changed her life.
I actually jumped over the high jump bar for the very first time without making it fall down. And that's when I got the first feeling that I was amazing and then decided I wanted to compete in athletics.
So every weekend she went to Little A's and also gymnastics. She learnt to roll and tumble, which is often not the same for someone with autism. There were new connections in Lisa's brain that she had to form.
Eventually, there was a competition for all of the disableds held out at the AIS, which happens also to be within reach.
This is Lisa's mum, Shirley. Now, the Lorenz family live in Canberra, conveniently close to the Australian Institute of Sport. So Shirley took Lisa out to this event to compete in the high jump. Lisa did pretty good.
She did her 145 metres and it turned out to be a world's record in the high jump for women.
Wow.
She was 15.
15?
Yeah.
Wow.
PE teacher there rang up the news and we were on the news and all that sort of stuff. Wow. It was all very exciting.
Unsurprisingly, after this, the AIS wanted Lisa to compete at the World Para Athletics Championships in Berlin.
And I remember thinking, oh, well, no 16-year-old of mine is going to Germany. That's not going to happen.
Lisa has trouble catching the bus. Now she's just going to jump on a plane and head to the other side of the world.
And I just sort of said, oh, well, that's nice.
No way, not going to happen.
Privately, I was thinking, no, she's not going.
Shirley caved in the end. Lisa won 2 silver medals.
It was also a big adventure. It would be like for you flying to another planet.
Then when she got back, she trained even harder.
3 track sessions a week and maybe 2 gym sessions.
She had her eyes set on the pinnacle of her sport, the 1996 Atlanta Paralympics. All that hard work paid off. She qualified, and despite her mum being worried again, she was allowed to go.
And I really love the thunderstorms in Atlanta. They have amazing lightning. Far better than what you would see here. The bolts were actually pink.
She won a gold in the long jump and a bronze in the 200-metre sprint. I asked Lisa if she was nervous about going to such a big worldwide event, the Paralympics.
So I got, well, a little bit nervous, but what was more exciting than actually going over to Atlanta was my cat had kittens. I don't think the cat was too pleased with my touching the kittens all the time and looking at them. If I picked up a kitten, she would look at me till I put it back down again.
Now, this might seem strange because the Paralympics are such a big deal, but you need to understand the Lorenz family love animals, especially Lisa and especially cats.
Well, you've already met Dallas. She's our Red Burmese. Grace is a Devon Rex and she looks like a little alien cat. And my mum's cat is Eleanor, and she is a white cat with long fur.
Like most athletes, you finish one competition and you start thinking about the next. And in between Atlanta and Lisa's next big challenge, Lisa's mum, Shirley, mentioned something to her that would give her an inspirational edge.
My mum told me that a cheetah could do the 100-metre sprint in 3 seconds.
With a slender body, deep chest and small round head, cheetahs are built for speed. But despite being the fastest land animal, they live uneasy lives. Of all the big cats, cheetahs are the most vulnerable.
Lisa developed an obsession with cheetahs, and when it came to race day, Lisa would imagine she was a cheetah.
There's this movie called Black Swan. I don't know if you've seen it, but it's a ballet movie about a woman turning into a swan. Well, way before I knew about that movie, this was my own idea. I would imagine I was magically transforming into a cheetah. Like you see the yellow fur growing all over your skin with the black patches in it. And imagine how it would feel to have a tail and have canine teeth instead of your own teeth. And think like a cheetah. It's and thinking like, not just going to beat this person, but I have to get in front of them in order to eat to survive.
Okay, what about your hands? What did they feel like?
You just imagine you have claws instead of fingernails and just think you don't have fingers and hands. I just have cheetah paws. It just takes a lot of imagining.
What about whiskers?
I didn't go that far.
The winner is Sydney.
When the Sydney 2000 Paralympics rolled around, Lisa was ready to give it her all.
I was really happy it was in Sydney, so I didn't have to go overseas.
Well, tonight the opening ceremony of the Sydney 2000 Paralympic Games will be watched by a worldwide television audience of approximately 2 billion people.
As we await the parade of nations now, over 120 countries, nearly 4...
Having autism sort of blocks feeling normal human emotions, so that's why I didn't get nervous when I was younger. And also because you're... put yourself under pressure to do what you know you can do.
There were now more events Lisa was able to compete in, and she was the favourite for all of them. The long jump, she smashed it, gold medal. 100 metres, silver. It was a photo finish. 200 metres, with the cheetah technique, of course.
Raced as well as I could to catch my prey.
She won gold. But the high jump... the high jump was the hardest.
It's a scary event because if you miss, you're not only disappointed, but if you land on it, it is very painful on your back.
And despite her success so far, because of that silver, she was feeling more pressure than ever.
A lot of people were saying that I would get 4 golds, even my family. So when I got silver, I thought, okay, it's okay to get 1 silver, but then 3 golds.
One by one, their rivals fell out of the contest.
That high jump event was probably the longest, most painful high jump event I've ever done in my life.
Lorenz loves a contest and to celebrate whatever the result. A former gymnast, she feels a failure is worth a backflip or two.
Every time I missed, I would do a backflip or a somersault to make up for missing, to basically show everyone that I can have other skills as well.
So it's come to this. Only 2 left. Lisa and an athlete from Japan.
The pair had the crowd right into this contest. They were forced into a jump-off at 154. Sakai went first. That miss meant that a clearance for Lisa Lorenz would mean gold.
I was thinking I'd rather be anywhere but here. I had to beat her because for my own pride, and also the rest of the team would have been really disappointed in me.
She took a deep breath, ran up.
She got it!
Arguably one of the most popular members of the 65-strong Australian track and field contingent.
Even after 16 years, well, almost 16 years, I'm very glad that I never have to do that again. I've got it and that's it.
Shortly after the Games, it was revealed not all nations had played fair.
Australians will no doubt be shocked to learn that all was not as it seemed at the magnificent Paralympic Games.
The gloss was taken off barely a month later by the scandal which saw the Spanish intellectually disabled basketball team returning its medals in disgrace.
Their actions would change the Paralympics for years to come.
Of the 12 people that were in this team, only 2 persons were mental handicapped.
Now the International Paralympic Committee has suspended all intellectually disabled athletes from competition until a more reliable test, in their view, can be found to determine eligibility.
Now, we are now being basically labelled as cheats.
Today, Australia's head Paralympic athletics coach, Chris Nunn, was training one of his star athletes affected by the ban, Lisa Lawrence, who won 3 gold medals in Sydney.
If there's no opportunity to compete internationally, the Australian Paralympic Committee would find it very hard to justify funding these athletes.
As for the athletes, they will have to wait until at least March for the IPC to decide whether to lift the ban.
Banning the whole category was just mean. It just made me mad. Because why should we have to suffer for something someone else did?
It was unclear if the ban would be lifted.
Everything just went out of place.
It wasn't. And for Lisa, it started a chain reaction.
But I continued doing athletics basically because it was what I did and I didn't know what else I would do.
After the Games, Lisa had to do a tour, this Champions Tour, for winning, but didn't go so well.
It was just a tour where people you don't know get to touch your medals and you won them, so they don't have any business touching them and getting their hand germs on them. It's like when one of our pet mice has babies, they're pink when they're born. My sister tells me not to touch them or the mother will eat them.
Really?
That's what it was like.
Then she was given a long break without training.
Really mistraining at first.
She got a new trainer who she didn't like.
I tried to get PBs again and work hard, but along the way I wasn't going to get any better. Well, I knew that I wasn't and lost interest. So I decided that I liked athletics a lot less.
But she was still part of the AIS training scheme. And there was one good thing that happened. They went to a Brisbane training camp and they all got to go to Dreamworld and she got to pat a tiger.
I didn't wash my hands all day after that.
After the Paralympics, things had changed in Lisa's home life too. Her dad was very ill. He had Parkinson's.
Everything went pear-shaped. I was used to being the important person in the family, but when I came home, I realised there was another more important person in the family than me.
Now Lisa was feeling left out.
Once I had done Wonder gold medals and competed in Sydney, I just wasn't important anymore.
It's normal for athletes to have these sorts of feelings when their career's winding down. Like, how do you go from being the best of something to then being a regular person? But for Lisa, it felt twice as hard because she's got autism and she was different anyway, and now she's not special. So she had to reinvent how she thought about herself.
I didn't actually develop any real self-esteem until way after the Paralympics.
Really?
No, really. That was self-esteem coming from my sporting achievements.
Not from within?
Well, no. Within is something you have to develop yourself that a lot of people do when they're younger.
So how'd you do it?
Well, I looked up books about self-esteem and, well, my family's Catholic and believing in God really helped.
Lisa and her mum Shirley had collected all these folders and folders packed with photos and newspaper clippings and stuff like that from her sporting achievements. Now they started to make new folders with things that Lisa had achieved outside of sport.
Like being able to find four-leaf clovers and being good with animals and being able to make someone happy by, when I write letters to friends, they say that they really appreciate them.
Lisa also took up new sports as hobbies. First archery, and then after her coach's girlfriend took her to see Swan Lake, she started ballet.
With athletics, I wasn't very good at it, but I became better over the years. That's why I kept on in ballet, because I knew I could build something from there.
Another thing Lisa did was volunteer once a week, and she's been doing that for 13 years now.
Okay, we're heading inside the otter den. I've never been inside an otter den, Lisa. What can I expect?
It smells like fish, is what the first thing most people notice.
Okay. Whoa. Whoa.
A friend from the AIS knew the owner of Canberra's National Zoo.
And put in new straw, it's like having a nice clean bed.
She introduced her to Lisa.
I really like the zoo and I clean up after the animals, prepare their food. Basically, a lot of cleaning up.
You don't mind?
I don't mind cleaning up after animals, but not people.
Right.
That's why I don't really like doing jobs around here, but I don't mind doing jobs at the zoo because that's what I go to the zoo for.
Would you mind waiting here while I go get a bin?
Yeah, no problem.
As well as cleaning the otter den, Lisa helps out with the dingo walk. And yes, every few weeks, Lisa helps clean the cheetah enclosure. As you can imagine, Lisa's always very happy to swing by.
They don't roar like your other, what you typically imagine your big cats do, like your lions and leopards and tigers and stuff. The structure in their throat is more like your domestic cat, so they will purr like this and they make a sort of chirping yowl.
Because I'm visiting today, the zoo is letting me take a photo of Lisa with a cheetah. And Lisa is very happy with me right now.
Fantastic. You did bring me a great fortune.
We're standing just outside the gate where Jura the cheetah is.
You don't want to crowd his head too much either, so we stick from his shoulders back.
I'd love just to put my arms around him, but that's not allowed. I'm just in my most relaxed mode ever when I'm around cheetahs. Normally I have anxiety, but once I'm with the cheetahs, everything's okay.
I feel like I belong when I'm with the cheetahs, because with other humans, I'm just aware that I'm different.
And how close can you get to him with a microphone?
Well, we'll find out. He might think it's a toy. How valuable is the microphone? Yeah, and if he gets it, then I'm not taking it off him.
Yeah, no, that's fine. That's understandable.
But we've got a switch on. So, yeah, as I said before, Caitlin's going to stick with you when you're around getting the photos. If she tells you to do anything like stand up or move around, you need to listen to her.
Don't worry,
she
knows, I will do that.
The sound of Mike Williams being eaten by a cheetah. Last November, Lisa was added to the ACT Sports Hall of Fame. It wasn't until London, 12 years after Sydney, that the intellectually disabled category returned to the Paralympics. Lisa's looking forward to watching the games. We are too, and we want to wish all our Paralympians the best of luck.
Good luck.
Week 3 of the sticker campaign is underway.
Mike. That's right. Reminder that this is a sticker of the Real Thing artwork. It is limited edition, and you can be just like RJK, Benjamin, Sarah, Andrew, and many more who have got one of these things. All you got to do,
leave us a review, take a screenshot, and then email it into realthing@your.abc.net.au and we'll send one out to you for a thank you.
And if you're liking the podcast, why not tell a friend about us? We're growing a little community here. Everyone's invited to listen, so thanks for coming along for the ride.
I'm Timothy Nicastri.
I'm Mike Williams.
And that's Ep 3 of The Real Thing.